such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Bozo Circus is on the air. The world's greatest clown, Oliver O'Oliver, Sandy the Tramp, Bob Smith, Bob Trimble and his Big Top Band, Master Ned, that's me, and a cast of thousands.
Good afternoon, Winds of Change listeners. This is producer Nick Starnoff. Mike Stark is just outside. I'll be able to get him in. Welcome to the show on Cyber Monday. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. We're joined by Stephen Handworker right here. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in today.
It's a pleasure to have you here, sir. And why don't we begin while I go get Mike? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because Stephen is very important for a lot of people that have been dealing with PTSD, if I'm saying that right.
Or PTSD, yes.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
But PTSD, as well as, what can you tell us about that?
Well, if I start off telling about myself, I am a combat veteran. I joined the military September 13, 2 days after we were attacked. Felt it was my obligation to do what I have to for our great country. So what happens is, as time goes on, I went into Iraq, and I was able to serve with some of the greatest Americans there is. Some things that you will see, which comes from being in Iraq, is or any other country or conflict or whatever, is PTSD. And the result of that, what we have is a dilemma, which is 22 veterans a day, unfortunately, are committing suicide. This is something that is a drastic thing that we need to address. And there's great measures out there. There's great help out there. And there's plenty of places we could look to. We could go to Hines. We could go to Jesse Brown. We could go to Joliet. The definition of PTSD, for those who don't know, is someone who's lived through a traumatic experience, which caused fear for their lives. They've seen terrible things. They've felt different things. It could be a terrorist act. It could be a sexual thing. It could be personal abuse. What happens is, a lot of times, is when the veterans are suffering from PTSD, they feel clammed up and they don't want to ask for help because of how they feel to be looked at. Well, that's not what it should be, because every one of us that ever laced up the boots, we will always be there for each other. Well, it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whoever it might be. But we need to get the word out on how to get help. I, a few weeks ago, was in Iowa with my battle buddy, John Vander Walker, and we did a 22-mile march to bring awareness to it. There's great resources out there. If you live in Chicago, what you could do is you could contact Jesse Brown. Jesse Brown has a couple numbers, which is 312-469-8387. And then the mental health Phone number is 312-569-7225. If you're going to Heinz, which a lot of people do, the general number there is 708-202-8387. Now, to reach out to get help for suicide awareness, there's a lot that, unfortunately, are committing suicide or in the millennium age, and a lot of them don't want to pick up the phone. All they want to do is text. And now, so you don't feel like you have to call, you could text. And that phone number is 741-741. And then the national hotline for a phone number is 1-800-273-8255.
Do me a favor and state those numbers again and just take the time, because we got plenty of time
okay.
here. So I want to be sure that people are listening, and we'll recap it at the end of the show as well. But again, give those numbers out for those that are out there that either might have a problem themselves, but more than likely know somebody that might need to reach out to an organization to help somebody that they care very much for. So please give us those numbers again, Steve.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. First off, the first number for texting is 741-741. The national hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. Then there's also another number, which is the Veteran Crisis Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. If you're in the Chicagoland and you're listening to this, because I know we're in a few different states being listened to.
Right.
Heinz, which is 708-202-8387. The Mental Health Department is 708-202-2002. For Chicago, for Jesse Brown, is 312-569-8387. And the Mental Health Department is 312-569-7225. Those are a couple numbers they could be reached out to. And there's one other number, which is 1-877-4-AID-VET, V-E-T. Those are numbers that you could definitely reach out to. If anybody ever feels that they don't want to and they need help, you could always call here and get my number for me, and I'd be more than happy to do what I have to do to help you out.
There'll be a link on our website at the end of the, you know, at the end of the show. There's Nick always puts a podcast up there, and there, so this will be able, you'll be able to share this with other people, but also there will be links to your sites to help people get it.
Thank you.
Hopefully everybody will be able to, if you didn't get it, there will be access to this. We will repeat these numbers again at the end of the show. And as I just ran in here, traffic was, it's Cyber Monday. It's Cyber Monday today, Steve. I mean, people are supposed to be sitting at home on their computers, not on the road.
Right.
And I thought, I got time, and I stopped to pick up a couple last-minute things
sure.
at Target up by my house in Highland Park. And, you know, just it nipped me because the express lane's closed just as I got to them. And boom, I'm literally 2 minutes late, but I missed the beginning of the show. But I just wanted to, you know, introduce you, obviously. We just met a couple days ago.
Thursday.
We met Thursday at Catholic Charities, and my daughter has a lot to do with that, as does our little walk. Her and I, every year I go, I was actually baptized. I was baptized there, too. I was adopted out of Catholic Charities.
That's beautiful.
And so that building that we were in is where I was, you know, as an infant, before I was taken up to my parents' house in Lake Forest, you know, a couple weeks after I was born. So I go back every year at Thanksgiving and Christmas to volunteer to feed these people. Not all are homeless either. Obviously, you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you had this big yellow shirt on that had 22 on it. And
yes,
I saw that. And I, you know, as I said, certain people are noticeable. I saw you were talking to Father Watts, Wayne Watts.
Yes.
Who's running the charities right now. But we had a good day doing that, and then my daughter says, let's walk over to the world's largest Starbucks over on Michigan Avenue, which is the old
Is that where I saw you coming from?
Yeah, we walked over. She's like, Dad, yeah, I want to go to this. I'm like, okay, and I was talking with some other people as we got done eating. They're saying they're going to go over there, too. And I'm like, all right, great. So who's going to be there? It's Thanksgiving Day. I mean, I'm just thinking, you got a life, you got a family, you got, you know, right?
Somewhere to go.
You're going to be somewhere, right? We got over there, and the line was around the block. Literally, it was half a city block long. It's like the old Garrett's popcorn on Michigan Avenue. Used to have these long lines. I'm like, it's popcorn. People, it's overpriced coffee. And quite honestly, they're not supporting the pro-life movement. Starbucks does not. So, I'm not calling to boycott anything, but I'm just saying, use your heads. Starbucks is overpriced coffee. $5-6 for a cup of coffee with some junk in it to sweeten it up and give you more calories and make you fatter. And at the end of the day, it's not worth, nothing like that is worth standing in line for. Santa Claus, I could stand in line for. A roller coaster that hadn't ridden, okay, I'll stand in line for that. But communion, confession, I'll stand in line for those things.
Something that's good for
you. Right, something that's good for you. This is not good for you, and they're going to fleece you. So anyway, we ended up walking back, and there you were.
Yes.
And I was, and Mary Fiorito had asked me to fill in today for her. She does a show normally on Monday for Father Anthony Bush, who has been in and out. So I've done the show quite often. But it was just kind of funny that I'm like, they talked to me on Wednesday about doing the show today. It's like calling me on a Friday before a Monday show. It really, there's nothing that I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to do this thing. I said, you know, we got a new system here. I'm going to do a call-in show. I'm going to let the listeners call in and tell people what they're thankful for as we're falling into our consumer craze, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all the shopping that's going on. The stores are open 24 hours a day. What are you thankful for? Let's back up for a minute and tell people what they're thankful for. And I'm thankful that God put you in front of me and gave me a great guest, and you've got a message to be heard. This worked out. It couldn't have worked out any better. I talked to my good buddy Kevin Matthews today. We talked this morning for probably about 40 minutes about a bunch of different things. But he's my go-to guy. If I need somebody, he's done a little radio. If I need it, and I said, you know, this is just what God did, is put Steve right in front of me.
I'm thankful.
I'm thankful. I want to see what you're thankful for, other than the fact that you're on the air right now. And we've got a chance to really tell a story that most people are just, they're not, maybe they're not even aware of it. I mean, 22 is a number I can't believe, but it's something that it doesn't affect me, so whatever. You know, and people don't think about this Iraq war as a war like they did World War II, because we're proud of World War II, man. We whooped their butts, you know, we won that war. But lately, the conflicts we've been involved in, Korea, Vietnam, even this, they've been sort of conflicts, not, you know, people don't look at it as a war, because we're kind of doing it on our own as we have in these other two. It's not like we don't have the allies really 100% behind us. Look
That's
at
sure.
Britain right now. Look at that mess over there. And France.
Yeah.
And you made a comment earlier about France. Let's not go there.
Yeah, we're not going to go on the radio about that one.
We're not going to go about that. But let's talk a little bit about what you're thankful for. We got a couple minutes before we got a break for our first commercial.
The first thing is, to me, shopping is what I'm thinking about right away. It's Advent. We're the first week in Advent. And I'm lucky that God has given me the opportunity to live through this next season. But I'm thankful for everyone's a form of God. And to go a little deeper as I go to the military side, once you lace up the boots and once you raise your right hand, just because your contract's up doesn't mean it expires. Once you have a battle buddy, that's always your battle buddy. And we all need to stick together. And, you know, when there's 22 a day, it's something that hits all of us, whether it's someone that we know that did it, and I do. I did have someone from my unit. Or someone that you read about or you feel about because you have that guilt. And you're like, wow, I should have put my hand out there. So part of the reason, which I thank you for letting me be on the air today, is I'm able to hopefully give some resources for someone who doesn't know how to look for help, doesn't feel they deserve help. Because everyone, if you raise your right hand and you served, there's someone there for you. And you know what? Even if you didn't serve, there's resources for you. We need to all stick together, you know. And, you know, it's political, this or that. It doesn't matter. We all need to be on the same team. This is something that we need to pull on the same rope.
Especially this time of year, because the holidays are the depressing time for people that are alone. My buddy that I brought to the Catholic Charities on Thursday was recently divorced, and his this is his first Thanksgiving by himself, and his kids were with his ex. And he's just like, hey, Mike, what are you doing? I said, well, this is what I do. He was like, can I come? Of course you can come.
Absolutely.
My daughter and I always do this together, but I'm saying that is what we do. And we are going to take our first break here. I'll be right back with Steve Hand after this break.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know what the Christmas spirit is? Some say the Christmas spirit is a feeling of love, joy, and peace that comes this time each year. You know, it's not a bad answer. It's just incomplete. The Christmas spirit is the living presence of the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, actively animating and perfecting the lives of Christians. In fact, the love, joy, and peace that we associate with the Christmas spirit are what St. Paul calls the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Many wish the Christmas spirit could be with us all year round. Well, I've got news for you. It can. Why do you think I'm so jolly? So even long after the Christmas decorations are stored away, our hearts can be filled 365 days with the same love, joy, and peace that the angels proclaim to the shepherds, if we are open to the power of the Holy Spirit, the true Christmas spirit. For Christ is born, glorify him.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Mike Stark filling in for Father Anthony Bush on Winds of Change, WNZZ, 750 AM. And my friend Steve Hand, who I just met last week, didn't know you a week ago.
Is just here, Thursday.
Right. Is here to talk about something that really just kind of, you know, punched me in the face, in the gut, whatever. I mean, I couldn't believe that 22 of our beloved vets commit suicide on a daily basis. I mean, the numbers, I mean, I don't even want to count the numbers for the whole year. Like, that's ridiculous. And you obviously are a veteran. And I want to kind of dig into what got you going as he shows me his dog tags. It's for those of you at home that aren't watching our simulcast.
Yep.
So Steve, let's get in. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what got you engaged. Your story is very much like a lot of the kids back in 1941 around this time of year that were like, hey, what the heck just happened? So without further ado, just tell us your story, if you would, and what got you engaged.
Thank you. That Tuesday morning, September 11th, as every American felt violated, I was actually doing some homework. I was on my keyboard, and I was typing away, and I was listening on the radio with the man cow, and he went silent for a second, And then all of a sudden he said, put on the TV, put on the TV. I'm like, ah. Oh. I'm thinking this is a gimmick. This is something to bring up ratings, blah, blah, blah.
Now, how old were you at this point?
I was 30.
30, okay.
I was 30 when this happened. And
also, you had a job. You had a normal life.
Yes, I was working for a company called Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. And I was working in Oak Brook out there. And great company. I was working for them for a long time at that point. And what happened was I listened to him, and then he didn't say nothing. And I'm like, come on. What's going on here? And I, all right, you got me. You got me. I'll put it on. So I turn, I hit the remote, I put the TV on, and I seen the first tower was up, and I go, oh, no. And then I seen the second airplane in the air on TV, and I can't tell you how dumb I felt. I'm like, wow, New York's got a rescue plane. They're going to save some people and stuff like that. Then I seen the second tower get hit. I had one of those tables where the keyboard was on a little slide and it pulled out. Well, I hit it pretty hard. And part of my computer fell off the table. And I felt violated. And I'm like, wow, I got to do something. What do I do? And like, you know. So this is on a Tuesday. And I pick up my daughter and I go grab her and everything like that. Then Thursday morning, I got to bring her for a physical for school. And we're in there, and she's 4 years old at the time. And she's playing in a little toy box and stuff like that. And a nurse comes out, hey, train worker, you'll have to, you'll be up in a minute. So I told my daughter, hey, clean up, because, you know, we always got to leave it cleaner than you found it. And she comes up.
That's something you don't hear very often these days.
No.
Somebody will get that for you.
Yeah, right. No, but military training definitely gets you that way, too. So she jumps up and she gives me what she calls a squeezy hug. She goes, Daddy, I love you. And it clicked. And I said to myself, I go, I have to go fight for my daughter. What kind of man are you if you can't stick up for your own daughter? And it went a little deeper than when I dropped her off at her mom's. And I was in my suit ready for work. And I just stopped the car, just turned around. I went up to the recruiter's office in Bolingbrook. And Sergeant Hemingway, and I walked in. I said, hey, sign me up for the war. He goes, excuse me, sir? And I go, yeah, sign me up for the war. He goes, what are you talking about? And I go, well, blah, blah, blah. It happened 2 days ago. Something's going to happen. I have to do my patriotic duty. And he goes, what do you want to do? I go, that's all. I don't know. Just figure it out.
Kill the people that ran the planes into our building.
Pretty much. And he goes.
Sorry, there's no filter with me.
No, that's all good. But so he goes, all right, we'll find something for you. I go, no, you figure it out. I got to go to work. I'll be in tomorrow. I'll sign the paperwork. Let's get this going. So went in the next day, and he goes, oh, you're back. I go, I told you I'd be back.
Surprise.
You're right. Here I am. And so I went on a delayed entry program, yeah, because I had to take money out of my 401k and make sure I could pay my mortgage for a couple of years and stuff like that. And off I went. And I was blessed. Went to a basic at Fort Sill. Then I went to AIT with Drill Sergeant Smith, and that was at Fort Bliss. And then my permanent party with First Sergeant Jeffries and Captain Lynch, they were the head of my command for my permanent party. And we got to call, and we went overseas. We were staged in Kuwait. And the first hour of the war, we were the first ones across the border. Of course, the commander leads the charge, and I was in the Patriot missile system, and we were right behind. And my unit, I can't tell you how proud I am of everyone I served with. As soon as we crossed the border, I made them permanently my brothers and sisters. Not only are they, but anytime I see a veteran, I can't thank them enough. I'm also part of a VFW unit in Naperville, Judd Nelson. Nothing but heroes there. Nothing but heroes there. And I walk in, and I feel so small because there's World War II veterans there. There's Korean veterans, like, from all wars. And that's something I want to bring up, too, because, you know, there's some veterans out there and don't know how to talk to people who are not veterans. They keep it to themselves. So there's great organizations that you could become part of. American Legion.
Which just turned 100 years old.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. We just did it. Yep.
I was at a party in Highland Park for their 100th anniversary.
Yeah, we just did a celebration in Naperville for our VFW. We share the same building out there. So, yeah, so, you know, you don't keep it to yourself. I mean, if there's something that you've seen or something that you feel or there's a reaction, you know, PTSD, it could come in a few different ways, you know, when it comes to the military. You know, it's what you lived through. It's what you felt. It's you know, sometimes it's the aftermath. Sometimes it could be a terrorist attack. So my thing is, with 22 a day, my goal, with the help of all my team members, which is everybody who's listening or at my Judd Nelson, Judd Kendall, VFW.
Judd Nelson was in Breakfast Club.
Right. Judd Kendall, my mistake, is to help the people, because we're all on the same team. You know, when you're ETSing, which is the term for getting out of the military, pretty much what it is they'll be like, all right, your room's clean, your cable bill is paid. Good luck, Johnny. Well, you know what? That isn't the answer. The answer is how are we going to help them process to the civilian world? You know, a lot of these kids, they join at 18, 19, 20. Majority are not 31 like me when I finished basic training.
Right. You'd already had a life.
Right.
So you knew how to segue back into it. Whereas these high school kids,
right.
I'll tell you something I saw not too long ago was a special on the Normandy invasion. And this one kid, 17, and we talked about this on the street the other day, 17 years old, he said, you know, I'm supposed to be going to my senior prom, and instead I'm jumping out of a boat into the water getting shot at by Germans. 17-year-old. Think about the mindset of these kids. It doesn't change. Today they're even softer, I feel. You know, because the way, you know, people aren't held accountable for anything. You participated, you get a ribbon for seventh place.
You get a trophy, everyone gets a play.
Win.
Right.
If you don't win, you don't get a trophy. And I'm sorry, but politics aside, I don't care who you're for, but you can't let the person that's president of the United States or the fact that that person's in office affect your day, because you can't do anything about it till the next election day. So stop crying about it. Pull your pants on. Go to work. Do what you got to do. And if you don't like who's in there,
make a difference yourself.
Vote them out next time. But for now, you're stuck. And suck it up. Move on. And if you didn't win, what can you do training-wise? How can you do better? Because how good would you guys have been if you didn't go to boot camp?
No.
Ah, here's some guns. Go knock them out, guys.
You know, it's not just physically getting ready. It's mentally getting ready. It's emotionally getting ready. Absolutely.
I mean, these, you know, the Officer and the Gentleman, some of these war movies that you watch, which was a great movie, Richard Gere and Louis Gossett Jr. But you think, man, that guy is just a jerk. He's a jerk. There's a point to what he's doing, because no Nazi or, you know, whatever these people are over here, these crazy people that don't like Americans that are burning our flag, what are they going to, they're not going to negotiate with you or rationalize with you. They're going to try and kill you. And you need to be prepared for that. So sometimes it's tough love you're getting from our guys who do love you, do want you to succeed, and they're preparing you for that. And like you said, debriefing people when they come back. How do you come back from something that is so violent, so different from anything we know, whether you're playing the video games or not? It's a video game. It's a video game. It's not real.
It's not the real deal.
Now you see your buddy with his leg blown up from an IUD or something like that. It's not good. So I'm going to take another break here, and we will be right back after a couple minutes.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Why does St. Nicholas deliver gifts under the cover of night? Well, that tradition began in my hometown of Patara in Asia Minor when I came to the help of a destitute man who had 3 grown daughters. He was so poor that he could barely feed them. Because he was so desperate, he was tempted to sell them into slavery. Then I remembered the words of Jesus, who said, "When you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing." And so I put together 3 bags of gold coins and tossed them through the window at night to help them. That was the first of my midnight visits. And that's the reason to this very day, even when I'm dressed as Santa Claus, I still deliver gifts under the cover of night. May the same love, joy, and peace that the angels proclaimed on that first Christmas animate your own heart to give hope to those most in need. For Christ is born. Glorify him.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to Christmas on the Prairie. Come and hear the story of the real St. Nicholas and take a ride with him in his own horse-drawn carriage.
Saturday evening, December 7th, from 2 to 6 p.m., an indoor and outdoor family event. Experience the beauty of a Byzantine church, and homemade Christmas bake sale items are available. Christmas on the Prairie at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, Saturday, December 7th from 2 to 6 p.m.
We're back, and it is the beautiful Christmas season as Advent has just started, and I like to play some memorable music for those of us of the right age that remember always watching a Charlie Brown Christmas. I know the Grinch is coming on in a day or so also with Boris Karloff. So, Steve, you've started this 22, what's it called?
I didn't start anything, but I'm just part of what's behind. I want to make sure it's 22 veterans a day who unfortunately.
But you had the shirt.
Yes, it was 22 a day, and that was actually from the shirt that I had when I was in Iowa.
Okay. Well, you had Iowa colors. It was black and gold. Yep. I think you were a Steeler fan or a Hawkeye fan.
Definitely not a Steeler fan. But, you know, I was out there in West Burlington, Iowa, and we did a 22-mile march
right.
to bring awareness
right.
with the English River Outfitters. And that's an organization they've been doing 3 years, and just the bringing awareness, you know. And if more people know, then more people could maybe reach out, and more people could help. If we could bring that number from 22 to 21 to 20, then I'll feel like we're doing the works of God, and that's what we should be doing.
Let's hope you can. Now, before we broke, we were talking about you know, you're going into the service. Now, when you got out, did you go back to Nordstrom's or what did
you did. I did, yeah. I took about a week off.
A week? You took that much time?
Yeah.
You should have been back in 2 days.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, you know. But to decompose and...
decompose.
Shall we say? you know, just to get my stuff together. But I got to tell you, what an honor it was to serve with some of the greatest Americans ever.
Now, these people, and this is really what I want to dig into, as we were talking during the break, are 17, 18 years old. They left high school. They went right in. Now they're out after seeing the most horrible things you could imagine. And now they've got to come back here, and they've got to get their life together. They've got to do something. They've got to fit into society.
Correct.
That's why some people feel they don't fit in, or after what they've seen, it's
changing. And a lot don't.
It's changed them.
Right.
What are you trying to help people do as far as getting acclimated to their environment that they grew up in, getting jobs, getting organized, getting situated, hopefully maybe finding a wife and settling down and having a normal, 50, 60 more years of life as a citizen in a country whose freedom they just defended. They just put their neck on the line for you and me and for everybody else, as you did as well. My dad did.
God bless him.
I played football.
Hey, that works.
I had my own drill sergeants.
Yep.
So, but it was a different kind. It was definitely a lot safer, even with the head injuries.
Right.
So please just take the time now to tell everybody what your thoughts are on what you're trying to accomplish and how we need to act towards these folks.
Thank you. The thing is, when you get out, you know, some might get a little more help, some might not get as much help. What happens is, you know, when you get it out, little Johnny, little Mary, whatever, hey, you just served. You're getting out. Hey, your room is clean. Your cable bill is paid. Good luck. And then you're out on your own. What I want to do is I want to make sure that the transformation back to civilian life is seamless as possible. What I want to happen is, so let's say you go up to a guy and he says, hey, your name is Mike and you're from Chicago. And all right, what's your zip code? Oh, it's 60601. Okay. All right. So your MOS, which is your job, you worked in IT. Okay. Well, do you have a job yet? Well, no. Well, let's get you on a job board. Let's try to help you do your resume. Let's do this. Let's get you set up. Okay, well, you know, you're coming back from Iraq, and maybe you know the reason you're coming back is because of God. Okay, well, let's find you a church if you weren't part of one. Okay. Hey, Father Dan, I'm going to send a soldier down there. Can you welcome him in? Then maybe help him with that. Okay. Maybe you got an injury. Well, where's the closest VA hospital? Well, you're at Hines. You're at Jesse Brown. You're in Joliet. Let's get you set up. Let's find out who you talk to when you get in. Let's get you set up with that. You know, how do you feel about yourself? You feel good? Mentally okay? Well, maybe you need a little help. Well, that's PTSD. Let's get you to talk to someone. There's plenty of people out there to talk to. You know, a lot of that leads to homelessness. With homelessness, they say 11 to 15% of the veterans are homeless. You know, the numbers that they have are staggering for homelessness. They had January of 2018, they had it around 39,000 veterans. That's 39,000 veterans more than there should be. Any man or lady who serves a country should at least have a fighting chance to have somewhere to live after what they did for us. So I want to make sure that people know that they can reach out. There's people here to help you. There's veterans here that will help you.
39,000. That's a full stadium.
Yeah.
Like a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Like when you're watching the World Series.
Absolutely.
You're looking at Yankee Stadium full of everyone in there. I mean, that's just something that people can look at. That's probably 12,000 more than the United Center holds for a Bulls or a Hawks game.
Right.
A standing room only crowd at a United Center plus 12,000 people is how many people are homeless after putting their lives on line for every one of us.
Absolutely.
Every one of our children, every one of our parents, every American, and these other foreign countries. And that's the thing that President Trump keeps talking about as he's going over to the UN, is how we defend everybody.
And it's not appreciated.
Where's the gratitude?
Right.
Continue.
And not only are they homeless, but so many of them are hungry. As I met you on Thursday down on LaSalle Street at Catholic Charities, we've seen a lot of people coming in there who need a helping hand. Do not feel afraid or feel dishonored to ask for help. You know, a lot of us are here to help you. Please reach out. Those are some numbers that I gave out on the radio. And if you need, you could always call in. Wherever, Mike, you set it up.
There'll be a link to our website, you know, to the show. there always is for Winds of Change. And we can go through those numbers again. There are so many numbers though to call. So if you want to mention them again, go ahead right now. Then we won't have to do it at the end of the show.
Yeah. The big thing is, you know, like the reason I'm in here is because of suicide awareness.
Right.
The 22 a day. So the top two numbers for that is for, you know, most millennials don't want to call. They want to text. So even if you're a millennium or not, and you don't have to be a veteran, you could be anyone, you could text. It's real easy. 741-741. You want to call? 1-800-273-8255. And then the Veteran Crisis Hotline number? 1-800-273-8255. Somebody will help you. That's a 24/7, 365 days a year. Please reach out. If you raise your right hand and you're willing to fight for everyone, now it's time to fight for yourself. You owe it to yourself. And we're all here to help you.
Yep. Keep talking, if you would, about, you know, employment for these people. What's being done for the veterans for employment opportunities? Where are we lacking, or where we can improve?
Well, it's something else I'm still looking into to try to get more data on. But there's a system, like when you're getting out, it's called TAP. When you get out of the military, Transition Assistance Program. And they have these seminars and they have these job boards that last for a few days. And what you could do is you could contact any of the military organizations and they will help you get started. They will help you get your resume together. It's there for you. You just got to reach out and get the help. What I would like to see to do is when a veteran gets out, I would like to see them do some check-ins. And what I mean by check-ins, let's say they get out today. Well, 6 months from now, I want them to check in at Heinz or check in with a social worker. And then at the year point. And then at the five-year point. And the reason why I want to do this, I want to make sure that, you know, they're saying they're going to do this, they're saying they're going to do this, but are they doing it? And if they're not doing it, how do we help them do that?
Right.
You know?
Like I said, people don't know. If they just sign up right out of high school, they haven't gone to college, they haven't gone to trade school.
No.
What good are they? And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I'm saying, what capabilities do they have to fit into the working world?
And you know what?
Maybe they don't want to be a waiter or a garbage man.
Right. And then there's every school.
Plus they've learned stuff in the military.
Absolutely. And those jobs, your MOS, can translate to the civilian world. You know, every school that there is a unit there which could help you with your GI Bill. It could help you get started with that. There's counselors for all military when they get out. Myself, when I came out of the military, I finished up my associates at COD and then finished up my bachelor's at Benedictine University. And it was because of going to the military that it made it possible. And you need to reach out. I mean, there's just so much help out there.
Do you have any other suggestions?
It's just, you know, be proud. Yeah. Find faith. Have faith in, you know, is what brought me back. And, you know that you're going to be okay. You know, every bad thing could pass. And you just got to be ready, you know. Take advantage of opportunities when they're in front of you.
Absolutely. And that's good parting words for our next commercial break. We'll be back shortly.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Foya, and I'm inviting you to Christmas on the Prairie. Come and hear the story of the real St. Nicholas and take a ride with him in his own horse-drawn carriage.
Saturday evening, December 7th, from 2 to 6 p.m., an indoor and outdoor family event. Experience the beauty of a Byzantine church, and homemade Christmas bake sale items are available. Christmas on the Prairie at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Saturday, December 7th, from 2 to 6 p.m.
I could just listen to that forever, but we do have to get back to the radio show, and it's almost over anyway.
Are you sure? I mean,
do you know what that's from?
That's like Snoopy or Charlie Brown or something like that.
That song is called Linus and Lucy.
Yeah.
By Vince Gilardi Trio, and they were fantastic. That was part of my childhood. So I'm back here with Stephen Hand, and Steve, we've talked about your work with the veterans. Let's talk a little bit about. This is a Catholic radio show. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Sounds
like Armed Forces Radio or some clown show. We did open with Bozo Circus, which I always open with the Bozo show because that was, it's kind of a circus when I take the show over because normally you got like focused, solemn Catholic people.
Then I hope I wasn't Cookie here.
No. Let me see your shoes if they match.
Yeah, right.
They're matching. Cookie always had a red shoe and a blue shoe.
But right.
Bozo was a big part of my childhood, and my best friend growing up, Jay Pollock, his secretary was Bob Bell, Bozo's daughter. So I have a signed Bozo doll, and I actually went to the Bozo show with my daughter.
Bucket number six.
on the day that Bob Bell died. The day I was at Bozo Circus as an adult with my, you know, four-year-old daughter was the day Bob Bell died. So anyway, I digress, and I have digressed. But let's talk a little bit about what you're doing in the Catholic Church. Obviously, we met at Catholic Charities.
Yes.
After Feeding the
Thursday,
Hungry.
Thursday, yes.
And we will be doing that again on Christmas Day. For those of you who want to participate, I'm going to be there for sure. I bought 200-plus pairs of socks. That's something that's in need over there. At Catholic Charities on LaSalle.
721
North LaSalle. So I'm going to be bringing 225 pairs of socks, but they need other things. They could use underwear. They could use, and how do you buy underwear? That's why I buy socks. It's the easy way out.
Right.
But you can get hats, gloves, coats. They need all kinds of things. They feed people. Catholic Charities feeds people every day of the week. And for $500, you can contact Father Wayne Watts over there at Catholic Charities. For $500, you can pay for one of those dinners. You can sponsor it. You could give that gift in somebody else's name. If that's what you're thinking during the holidays, Catholic Charities can always use help. And they welcome everybody, as you know, Steve.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter who you are. There were all kinds of people there. They said 65% of the people that dine there. And the holidays always brings a big crowd, you know, of volunteers. But they need volunteers the rest of the week as well. And
we're all God's people, and that's
right.
That's what it's about.
So we're there for that. So you can do that as well. But if you feel it in your heart to reach out to Catholic Charities, you don't need to give them $500. But if a couple people give $50 and you got 10 people,
it adds up to help out one more person.
It pays. And, you know, Eddie, who paid for all the catering, he provides his own catering for this. And I'll probably have to have him on the show one of these days. I'm always looking for good guests. You just fell into my lap, which was great. But let's talk about you, a little bit about you. We've talked about what you're doing, but your Catholic faith and
absolutely,
what drives you to get up in the morning and go do the Lord's work?
God, that's I'm blessed. You know that there's a saying, there's three tenses in life. There's the past, there's a future, and there's a present. The reason they call it the present, it's a gift. For us to wake up every morning, and I can't thank him enough every day. Growing up, my grandparents were very religious. They took me to church when I was young. And then,
where'd you grow up? What neighborhood?
Well, I actually, after 14, I kind of raised myself. I was, all over the place. I've went to a bunch of different high schools and lived in a bunch of different households, and I was blessed that God put them in front of me to, you know, give me a place over my head or give me a meal. But as time went on, there was a, the lady next door became a mom of me, Dora Rodriguez. She was running the rectory with Mrs. Bovin at Resurrection, which is just a couple miles away from here. And her son, Marco, who's like a brother of mine, we would go check in. And, you know, I started to, you know, get the thought of, hey, maybe one day I'll go back, and one day I'll go back. Then 1994, I was working at Nordstrom's, and I had a knee operation, and I was up one night, and I said to myself, you know what? I need to go back. Let me go check out this church thing again.
The church thing.
Yeah, the church thing. That's what it was that night. So I walked in, and I was on my crutches, had a big blue brace on, and walked in, and I sat there, and like, did a mass, listened to the scriptures, went home. I said, oh, that made me feel pretty good. Maybe I should do it. Let me try it again. So I was still on my crutches, and I went back for a month or so, and the other usher, his name is John, and then there was a gentleman, his name is Tony Rodriguez.
You know all the names. A lot of shout-outs to the folks out there.
Absolutely.
They're probably not listening, but...
That's all right.
You mentioned them.
I appreciate them. John came up to me, and he goes, come here, kid. John was probably in his 60s, and I was 23 years old. He goes, get over here. I'm like, oh, boy. I go, maybe I did something wrong. So he goes, you're going to be early next week. I go, I am? He goes, yeah.
Want to bet?
Yeah, right. And he goes... And
depends
I'm like,
on traffic.
Right. And this is when I was off my crutches. He goes, I go, why? Did I make a mess? Did I do something wrong? He goes, no, you're going to start ushering.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, no, you got the wrong guy.
Nope.
I go, no, not me. He goes, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. And that's when I started ushering up.
Does it pay?
Yeah, right.
What makes you think I'm going to do this?
Yeah, right. And so I started doing that. And then after I joined the military, one of my sergeants in my unit, I didn't have my car down there, Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas, would drive me to church. And I got to know Father Briganti down there, and then the other priest. And the other priest, as I'm sitting in the sacristy with Father C, or with Sergeant C, he goes to me, he goes, hey, you come to church every week, don't you? I go, yeah. He goes, you ought to be early next week. I'm like, wait a second, I think I've heard this before. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I go, well, why is that? He goes, you're going to start to become a Eucharist minister. I'm like, no. You got the wrong guy. He goes, and he said the same exact thing. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. And so that's how I became part of doing what I do.
So you got bullied into it.
Yeah, you can say that.
You got bullied into it. But, you know, my priest, my pastor at the time, who became Bishop Rassus, came up to me when I was in my 20s and said, you're going to be a Eucharistic minister. It was ironic because he's tall anyway, but he was standing on a couple steps above me as I was coming into the church. So he was really above me. He's like, Michael, I think you should become a Eucharist. I'm like, maybe I should go to confession first.
Right. Yeah.
I've been doing it ever since, and that's great service in the church. You're also going on a pilgrimage, second time to the Holy Land coming up?
It is, yes. I'm on with Deacon Lopez and his other brother, Deacon Lopez. We went 2 years ago to Israel, and April 28th, we leave for Israel again, and then the last couple of days we'll be in Rome, to see the Vatican. We're going to be able to see the Pope speak, which is just, I just can't tell you how excited I am about that.
Right. You know, said there's some we're not pitching a pilgrimage here because it's not your pilgrimage. I've got my friend Guy Murphy, who just celebrated a birthday yesterday, who does the Total Years pilgrimages. He goes all over the place. But this is a pilgrimage that if people are really inspired by your talk today and by you, they have an opportunity to join this pilgrimage and go with you. You'll be safe. You got a military guy here who'll keep you safe. And then you got God, too. Talk a little bit more about this pilgrimage. Who's hosting it and you're going?
Well, there's two deacons and their brothers, Deacon Lopez.
The Lopez and Lopez. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've been doing it for years, and the tour guys they have is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is, like, when I went the last time, we walked the Stations of the Cross. We did the Garden of Gethsemane. We went to where Jesus was crucified. We went to where he was born. The Holy Spirit takes over, and you can feel it. And I said to myself when I got back from the trip, I don't have a bucket list anymore, because what could be better? Then all of a sudden, Deacon Lopez goes, well, we're doing that and the Vatican. All right, well, maybe that could be a little better, because you got both now.
Right.
So I actually went and gave my down payment yesterday, and I'm looking forward to...
And it's affordable?
It is. It's $3,800.
For everything?
Yeah, it includes your airfare, your hotel, your fees, the bus that takes you around. It also, your breakfast, your dinner when available.
Okay.
But, yeah. It
should be fasting over there anyway.
Right. Should be doing it here.
not the season.
Yeah.
So how would people go about getting on board with this if they wanted to do that?
Well, I can leave my number here, and they can contact me, and I can get them set up
and
with
you
that.
Said there's a couple seats available.
There's about a few seats left.
Okay.
Absolutely. But it's something that I'm going to carry with me for life.
Right. Good. Well, I'm just so happy that God put us together last Thursday for you to come here.
That's a blessing.
Share your story. Yeah, and we've got a lot of people out there that are listening. And for those of you out there that really want to make a difference, you know, there's an opportunity for our veterans. I mean, who we can't thank enough for what you've done. I want to thank you personally right now. And
I haven't done enough.
Well, you're still doing, though.
I'm trying.
You're continually doing, and that's what's important.
All credit goes to God.
Well, it does go to God, but God uses us.
Yes.
So, Steve, thank you for being here. God
Mike,
bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Everybody out there, have a great week. Have a great Advent. Merry Christmas, and I'll be back.
Thank you.
Changed. each meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside...